presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District.
Assistance is helping people feed themselves, care for the sick, power communities across Africa, and promote models of development rather than dependence. National institutions like the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund are more representative, while establishing a framework to protect our planet from the ravages of climate change. Of global integration that have made us interdependent. refugees flow across borders and fight from brutal conflict. Financial disruptions continue to weigh upon our workers and into our communities. Across vast swaths of the Middle East, basic security, basic order has broken down. We see too many governments muzzling journalists and quashing dissent and censoring the flow of information. Terrorist networks use social media to prey upon the minds of our youth, endangering open societies and spreading anger against innocent immigrants and Muslims. Powerful nations contest the constraints placed on them by international law. This is the paradox that defines our world today. A quarter century after the end of the Cold War, the world is by many measures less violent and more prosperous than ever before. And yet our societies are filled with uncertainty and unease and strife. Despite enormous progress as people lose trust in institutions, governing becomes more difficult, and tensions between nations become more quick to surface. And so I believe that at this moment, we all face a choice. We can choose to press forward with a better model of cooperation and integration, or we can retreat into a world sharply divided and ultimately in conflict, along age-old lines of nation and tribe and race and religion.
I'm going to interrupt it there. This is very much a globalist speech where the long-run objective is one world government. I reject that, as do the peoples of many, many nations. This is utopia, a utopian vision that never will be and never has been. And the American people are rebelling against it because they have been hurt by it, by the appeaser that we call the President of the United States. Oh, yes, we have an agreement with Iran that ultimately will lead to the proliferation of nuclear weapons throughout the world. That is not a legacy to be proud of. He is all for the United Nations. I'm opposed to it because if you look at its record, it's one failure. Failure after failure and corruption. Not surprising where you have bigger and bigger government, you're going to have more corruption. And most of those members, not all, but a lot of them are dictators, tyrants. Why do we belong to this organization? I know one answer is simple. It's rather pragmatic. It lets the United States spy on these nations. I think we have other ways to do that. But that's really a concern. The way the nations failed, and the United Nations is very much a failure if you look at its record. But I won't visit today. So I'm glad this is his last speech. Well, he has some veiled criticisms of Trump in the speech. But the American people want their sovereignty back. They want our borders controlled. They want the invasion of this country rolled back. And we have in Barack Obama a president who betrayed his oath of office to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. And a failure by the Republican Party to stop him, either by impeachment or cutting off the funds. So I hope he enjoyed his swan song speech. It got polite applause. But I wanted to play something that I've never played on the show. I've been aware of this for years. But I want you to listen to what the speaker is saying. And this speech is from 1958 by Robert Welch. He was the founder and organizer of the John Birch Society that the communists and socialists in this country tried to destroy, as did progressives in this country, and even William Buckley. Let me play that speech and listen to it because I want you to think how much has been accomplished, not by Robert Welch, but by the progressives, the socialists, and the communists since then. It should give you pause. Robert Welch in 1958.
The final great plan, of course, is to induce the gradual surrender of American sovereignty, piece by piece and step by step, to various international ways. One, greatly expanding government spending on every conceivable means of getting rid of ever larger sums of American money as wastefully as possible. Two, higher and then much higher taxes. Three, an increasingly unbalanced budget despite the higher taxes. Four, wild inflation of our currency. Five, government controls of prices, wages, and materials supposedly to combat inflation. Six, greatly increased socialistic controls over every operation of our economy and every activity of our daily lives. This is to be accompanied naturally and automatically by a correspondingly huge increase in the size of our bureaucracy and in both the cost and reach of our domestic government. Seven, far more centralization of power in Washington and the practical elimination of our state lines. There is a many-faceted drive at work to have our state lines eventually mean no more within the nation than our county lines do now within the states. Eight, a steady advance of federal aid to and control over our educational system, leading to complete federalization of our public education. Nine, a constant hammering into the American consciousness of the horror of modern warfare, the duties and the absolute necessity of peace. Peace always on communist terms, of course. And ten, the consequent willingness of the American people to allow the steps of appeasement by our government, which amount to a piecemeal surrender of the rest of the free world and of the United States itself. So brush the insider's dust out of your eyes, my friends, and the communist soap suds out of your brain, and ask yourselves in all honesty, what on earth is wrong with the United States simply minding its own business? Which having its foreign policy function primarily for the safety and benefit of the American people. Which is exactly what we had done for the first 140 years of our existence as a nation, to the incredible advantage of ourselves and everybody else. Everybody, that is, except a numerically small clique of power-lusting conspirators who had somehow infected themselves on a gun of the world. Now we turn to a very brief summarization of what we hope the John Birch Society will help and even sometimes lead the American people to accomplish during the next 15 years. One, our first and most important specific undertaking should be to restore the complete independence of the United States. This includes our resolution to get us out of the United Nations and get the United Nations out of the United States. Two, we must once again make our money freely redeemable in gold at some realistic price. And we must take all practicable legislative steps to prevent a recurrence of the enormous thievery and other subversive crimes that have been perpetrated on the American people through a contrived inflation by every president from Franklin Roosevelt to Richard Nixon. Three, we should reduce the number of government bureaus, of government civilian employees, and the whole quantity of government by at least 50%. And we should achieve at least this much reduction in proper fashion through gradually convincing a majority of the American people of the wisdom of such a course. Four, we should withdraw all American troops from every spot on Earth that is not American soil, except when and where such troops may be required, as decided by Congress, to protect American lives and property from permanent vandalism. Signed. Should get government out of the areas and functions and activities where government does not belong. Again, our steps to this end should be taken gradually, but nevertheless just as rapidly as enough of the American people can be persuaded to support such progress. Any such achievement will require a truly massive educational force, and that's exactly what we hope to build during the next 50 We could go ahead for at least 100 numbered items, but the John Birch Society will undoubtedly be working on more than that many specific projects, which will be laid out in its bulletins before another 180 months will have rolled around. And all of them will fit into, all these projects will fit into the general pattern indicated by the five major objectives listed above. So let's really wind up this marathon monologue with one final thought. None of us can guarantee anything about what the future will bring. Your speaker knows what a job we have before us to rid our country of the scourge of communism within the next few years, and then to go ahead on our constructive program so well that 15 years from now we shall already be entering an era of far less government, of a much sounder sense of responsibility, and, with God's help, of a better world. But I sincerely believe that it can be done. And this much I know, that every man and woman in this audience should leave here tonight feeling in his or her own mind and heart that it can and must be done, then it surely will be. And so, all of you patriots of good character, good conscience, and noble ideals, whom we can reach with the filmed version of this speech and 1,000 other audiences, it is with a great deal of confidence and energizing will to live that we invite you to join us in our epic undertaking. Now, to all of you great, wonderful friends in this present audience, I certainly extend my very deep thanks indeed for so much patience and attention. Thank you very much.
That was the late Robert Wells, founder of the John Birch Society. A disclosure, I'm not a member of the John Birch Society, never considered even joining, but I found that speech in a way sad, because the John Birch Society was marginalized, was demonized, and much of what he warned has happened in the United States. I think he underestimated the power of government in the public schools and colleges today. That is where they are being indoctrinated as I speak. And many parents have the money that's going to take their children out of government schools, state schools, and take on the responsibility of either educating their children at home or in schools that agree with their principles and values. But that's really, even a growing percentage, is still small. I favor vouchers for parents to choose what school they want to send their children to. In other words, I'm for more competition in the education of your children. This has, needless to say, been resisted, especially by the unions in those states where the unions have power, and certainly by the Democratic Party and Barack Obama. It's something that would be an important and first step, and it's making some progress. But until that grip, and it is a grip on your children, and what your children hear every day when they go to school, much of it good. It's just the indoctrination part that's subtle but continuing. And then you're surprised when they come home from college and articulate views that are totally opposed to yours. Let me tell you a little story. I was in the newsroom and I was preparing for the show. And usually when I'm preparing the show, I'm very, very focused, but there are people having conversations around me. And one student was going on and on and on about profit. I don't want to work for any organization that has profit. Now, if I had time, I would have educated him. I would have made the point, why don't you start your own business if you feel so negative towards profit? And that's what he was indicating he wanted to do. borrowed in their brain that profit is bad. You know, I was amazed how negative he was towards profit without giving any reason why. He just didn't like it. Oh, the indoctrination was successful on him. The problem is there are millions of people like that in America that really want all the goods and services that the free enterprise market system provides, but they're against the very system that provides it. And what has happened? Sad to say that Robert Welch organization was still around, still successful. It was demonized, it was marginalized. And who won? We have two parties in this country, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. They're both for big governments. They want to give you the idea that you have a choice. I wish I did. I truly wish I did, because I can't vote for either party anymore. Oh yeah, there are differences, but in fundamental political philosophy, namely, are they a classical liberal party? Are they for limited government like the founders of this nation are? They're not. They want more and more government, which requires more and more taxes, more and more borrowing, more and more printing the money. And that's what's sad about it. And now we have to listen to Barack Obama's speech. Now, I didn't think the speech was at least standard straw man arguments by Obama. Oh, he's against Trump. He's against Trump. Don't worry about it. He took some swipes at Trump. But let me play what our president said about refugees.
And together, now, we have to open our hearts and do more to help refugees who are desperate for home. We shall welcome the pledges of increased assistance that have been made at this General Assembly gathering. I'll be discussing that more this afternoon, but we have to follow through, even when the politics are hard. Because in the eyes of innocent men and women and children, who, through no fault of their own, have had to flee everything that they know, everything that they love, we have to have the empathy to see ourselves. We have to imagine what it would be like for our family, for our children, if the unspeakable happened to us. And we should all understand that ultimately our world will be more secure if we are prepared to help those in need and the nations who are carrying the largest burden with respect to accommodating these refugees. There are a lot of nations right now that are doing the right thing. But many nations, particularly those blessed with wealth and the benefits of geography, also insist that refugees who come to our countries have to do more to adapt to the customs and conventions of the communities that are now providing them a home.
A couple of points here. The United States is the one country in the world that allows 1 million a year coming into the United States. The American people support legal immigration. This is the one president that's dividing the country through a policy of open borders that benefits who? The donor class, who want cheap compliant labor. And he's doing it, he's violating the law, he's violating the Constitution. And it's dividing the American people. And the American people are rising up and saying, enough is enough, we want to change, not in the direction that this president wants to go. He thought he could get a third term. I think he's a dreamer. Now, I don't know who's going to win in November. My own prediction is Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. Why? The American people are concerned about jobs, the economy, national security, the illegal alien invasion that continues and continues, and terrorism. And this president simply isn't up to the job. He never was, and that's why he has and will have an 8-year failed presidency. And it won't look good in the history books. Remember, he won the Peace Prize, Nobel Peace Prize. Yet the world today is unstable and in war in country after country. North Africa and the Middle East are in chaos. The American people want a stop to these terrorist acts in our country and a stop to taking in tens of thousands of refugees. Now, next show, I'm going to get into documents that were released today by WikiLeaks that show what the Obama administration and the Secretary of State were up to in shipping arms to Syria, and ultimately got in the hands of Al-Qaeda and what's today called the Islamic State. His hands are bloody, ladies and gentlemen. It was a CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, covert operations. Why many American people don't know it, the people in the region know what was going on. And what did that lead to? About 500,000 people dying in Syria and millions fleeing to countries throughout the Middle East. I think many in that room wish them well. They don't have to listen to another speech from President Obama. Now, what did Donald Trump say? And what is he calling for? He wants profiling by the police in light of the bombings in New York City. It does work in Israel. You see, the problem people have with profiling, they think it's racist. It's not racist. It's what these people believe. And what I mean is, you need to screen out for what? Radical Islamic terrorist jihadis. And they're not doing it. He's welcoming them here, encouraging more refugees. And that's what Hillary Clinton wants. American people don't want this. That's why I think in November, there are going to be a lot of surprise progressives. You know, really what's going on. The Democratic Party is panicking. Because they thought this should be a cakewalk where Clinton would win by 5 or 10 points. Instead, she's even and falling in the polls. Oh, she still has the Electoral College advantage. And the odds are she still would win. But we're not at Election Day. Now, what did Donald Trump call regarding tighter screening of immigrants?
There have been Islamic terrorist attacks in Minnesota and New York City and New Jersey. These attacks and many others were made possible because of our extremely open immigration system. 9/11 to San Bernardino, we have seen how failures to screen was entering the United States, which all of our citizens, everyone in this room, have danger. My opponent has the most open borders policy of anyone ever to seek the presidency. Now, she wants a 550% increase in Syrian refugees.
Political quadrant.
expressed on this show are my own unless otherwise stated and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Proc Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Proc, the People's Paladin Proc, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted